online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Christian teaching and talk. This is
97.7 FM. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, the issue today, how do you identify the real Christian? How do you identify? Is he the real Christian simply one that's a member of a local church? Is the real Christian the one that has a chain with a cross, a chain around his neck with a cross on it? Is that the real Christian? Is the real Christian the one that identifies as a Christian because his parents were Christian, because he lives in a Christian nation? What is a real Christian? Who is the real Christian? How do we identify the real Christian? We talked about just a moment ago, Dr. Phelps and I discussing this. We talked about the carnal Christian. The Apostle Paul called the believers at church at Corinth carnal Christians. Then there's the cultic Christian. There are a number of cults today that identify themselves as Christian cults, the primary two being Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness. They claim to know Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. It's not the same Jesus that we have recorded in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And then there's the cultural Christian that we'll talk about in just a moment. But first, I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go over with your question or comment, please.
How are both of you doing today?
Terry, you need to turn the radio down.
Okay. Am I clear now?
Yes. Go ahead.
I'll call back.
Okay, Terry, call right back. That'll be good. I believe we have another caller on the line, Harper Davis. Harper, go ahead with the question and comment, please.
Thank you, Doctor, for taking my call this morning. I want to comment on 2 things, I think, if I can get that in. First of all, who's a Christian? I believe Antioch in the Bible, they first called them Christians at Antioch because of their lifestyle and their closeness to the lifestyle of living like Jesus did. And I think Christian, the term is sort of a loose term in identifying people. And I go back to this. The thief on the cross, he recognized who Jesus was, and he said, "Remember me." And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Now, he was saved, but he didn't have very much time left to live a Christian life. So I'm not doubting his salvation, but when they say they're Christian, their lifestyle doesn't exemplify the life of Christ while he was here. I have a hard time believing Christian. They may be saved.
Absolutely.
I'm not doubting their salvation.
Absolutely.
And then
in fact,
terms,
in Matthew,
the gentleman that was
in Matthew. Go ahead. In Matthew 7, it says, "You shall know them by their fruit, or by their fruit you shall know them." And you're exactly right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And you called a while ago talking about the new version of the Bible said that it was Jesus' only son. Well, that's entirely wrong right there. King James says begotten son. Jesus had
Absolutely.
Two sons. If you trace his lineage back to Adam, he says, the Son of God. He was created. Jesus yes. was begotten of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus actually had two sons, and one created and one begotten by the Holy Spirit through the birth that Mary gave him.
He had, he's the God-man, 100% God and 100% man. It's not the two sons, but it's the God-man. He is
right.
divine. There's some that are preaching and teaching today that Jesus wasn't truly divine until he ascended back into heaven. If that's the case, then the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross was not efficacious, not beneficial, had no value whatsoever.
Worthless.
Jesus Christ is divine. He was divine in his humanity. He did not lose his divinity because he became human. By the way, the term Christian is found in three places in the scripture. Acts chapter 11, verse 16, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Then it's found again in Acts 26, 28. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. And then it is found in 1 Peter 4, 16. If anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So Christian is mentioned precisely three times in the scripture, and it's talking about one that follows Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
An ardent believer, one that has faith and trust in Jesus. You can be a member of every church in the world. You can be a member of every organization. I call it the Goose, the Moose, the Got Loose Club, and claim that you are Christian, and that doesn't make you Christian. Wearing
not
a cross
all.
Doesn't make you a Christian. Talking God talk doesn't make you a Christian. It's placing faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, taking for fact the biblical truth, whether you understand it or not, realizing that there is the triunity of the Godhead, recognizing the shed blood of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the receiving of him as Savior is the only way for eternal life. And I could go on and on and on, but what we are saying, what would you say, and I'm going to put you on the spot for a moment if you don't mind, what would you say if I say, well, there are a lot of folks in the world today that are cultural Christians. What do you identify, what do you think that identifies, and what does it say to you, cultural Christian?
They might be misled just a little bit by the inspiration of Satan.
that's a good simple way to put it, and you're exactly right. Might be led by inspiration of Satan. I'm looking at an article that says, according to one source, over two-thirds of the entire population of the United States claims to be Christian, but less than half of the inhabitants of this country actually participate in any kind of organized Christian church. And it goes on to say, when asked, the random researchers ask about spiritual beliefs, many listed Christianity as their religion of choice. There is a multitude of reasons why people would claim to be Christian, but not actually true believers in Jesus Christ, including those that are claimed to be saved, but embracing the culture of the world, therefore cultural Christians. And so, Harper, I believe that it's time that we as Christians recognize that we are at war, and the war is between good and evil. The war is between the Savior and Satan, and it's being fought out in the lives and the hearts and the bodies of human beings. And I believe we're witnessing. I just told my bride today when we were talking about the radio broadcast and what I intended to cover, I said I believe one of the major problems is that we find, we call it the apostasy today, the falling away, and that is true. But I believe what we see taking place today is the winnowing, the dividing of the wheat and the chaff. We're seeing the chaff blowing away. We're seeing the wheat remaining steadfast in the Word. And I believe that's what we're really witnessing today, although it is called apostasy, the falling away. And I believe we're witnessing that today because of the cultural Christians and the signs that we see today of cultural Christianity. Harper, thank you so much for your call. God bless you and keep looking up. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Okay, thank you so much. I believe that you can identify a Christian, and I'm going to get to that part, is when a person has been given a moment of sanity and the hope and the belief to believe that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, died on the cross, and is rose again and sits on the right-hand side of the Father. And when they have that hope and that belief, and they ask them to come into their heart, and it starts to change their persona, the way they even look, there's an identification of Christ showing in them and through them. And that mm-hmm. they realize, too, I can do nothing without Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And that's how, and that look, that persona. But you know what? I can't think of the scripture right now. But the main thing is they can no longer be deceived. Because he said, many will come in my name.
That's right. You're talking about Matthew chapter 7 is a good example of that. And then you find also in John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me, and another shepherd they will not follow. And I contend, as preaching and teaching, I contend that if a person can follow a, how would you say, a false theology, a false doctrine, follow that which is not central biblicist, then they're following another shepherd. Dr. Phelps, how do you respond to that statement or question?
Oh, I think you're right about that, Dr. Youngblood.
Hold on, man. Dr. Phelps is responding.
One of the things that concerns me is that people find their basis for their faith elsewhere rather than looking at the scriptures. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 16 that a question was asked, what must I do to be saved? Mm-hmm. And the disciples answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's one of the best answers to knowing whether or not a person is believing the right source of truth. If the source of truth must be the scriptures themselves, the inspired scriptures are the basis for our faith.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you so much. But I also would like to thank the both of you, because I don't know who else's toes was stepped on today. But I have to confess and admit that I am a carnal Christian, an evangelist, not just, I know I'm chosen, and that the world has entered in. So I want to thank you, and I'm rededicating. I just thank you for today. I really do. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I am thankful for that, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you and to multitudes of others that perhaps are a little reticent of calling in, but I'm thankful for the impact, and I pray that we'll have a greater impact on a greater audience as we speak today. Terry, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. Dr. Phelps, we talk about cultural Christianity. I say the term is often used by those who claim to follow Christ, but whose lifestyle does not match what they profess. They go to church, they're members of a denomination, but have never truly placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm looking at an article that's 25 pages long. I'm going to read the first paragraph. Who are these cultural Christians? A particular phenomenon of our time is the so-called cultural Christian, or even Christian atheist, by which is meant someone who finds the moral claims and cultural sensibility of Christianity and sympathetic to it, but who does not or will not, cannot accept the fundamental claims of Christianity, and that is that Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe, embodied himself in the form of that first person in the first century Jew who was tortured and put to death before raising from the dead to provide fallen humanity with a path of redemption. That was pretty clear, but it was a concise statement in relationship to that. Dr. Phelps, cultural Christianity will blend the changing cultural trends and embrace these trends. For example, the cultural Christian will say that we need to love everybody because God is love. the cultural Christian will say, well, you know, transgenderism may not be your cup of tea, but if it's what the world says is okay, we've got to love them and embrace them. The cultural Christian will say, well, the LGBTQ I+ agenda may be disagreement with some, but we need to love them, embrace them, and not say no to them. In fact, the cultural Christian today will say that we need to have the LGBTQI+, the transgenderism, the sodomite agenda needs to be embraced and bring them into our churches, as Andy Stanley says that we need to do. So speak to that about the cultural Christian a little more broadly, Dr. Phelps.
One of the things I've learned from reading the scriptures, especially the Apostle Paul's mm-hmm. letter to Rome.
Yes.
Paul wrote to Rome about a lot of things. In fact, the book of Romans is probably one of the best sources for Bible teaching, Bible doctrines. But he concluded his entire arguments or statements or teaching with chapter 12, where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice,
yes.
holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed
yes.
by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That last verse, he's talking about Christians, that we need not to be conformed to the world, mm-hmm. but to be transformed
yes.
by the renewing of our mind. So it seems like cultural Christianity seems to be so involved with the world that there are some professing Christians who have no biblical testimony
mm-hmm.
Of who they are.
Yes.
Excuse me. They lose their identity because of their inability to speak to the truth and identify with the truth. They're religious Christians, religious, but lacking in a relationship with God, a biblical relationship with God. Paul wrote again in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I've read in all the New Testament and compiled about seven things mm-hmm. that identify those who are in Christ.
Share that.
The first one is that we are sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
There is a statement to that effect in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Yeah, in fact, in the book of Ephesians, when Paul wrote to them, the very first verse, he addressed them as those who are in Christ. In Christ. Just those two words.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells us that we were, at one time, unholy, but now we're saints. God speaks of us who belong to the local church as saints. God makes his saints. Now, there's one church we know of who makes saints of those who've been dead 40 years or maybe 100 years. And maybe because of some so-called miracle that was performed by them or through them. But the Bible calls living Christians today saints.
That's right.
Because we believe in Christ.
Absolutely.
Because of our faith.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, while you're holding that thought a moment, there's an individual that wrote a book, Michael Horton, wrote a book, and he called it Christless Christianity. He says, and I quote, the American church is headed for a version of Christianity that is a form of religiosity that embraces only the elements of the Bible that the flesh finds pleasant. I'm going to read a brief paragraph from an article, What is Christless Christianity? Crisis Christianity is a watered-down version of Christianity that is quickly replacing doctrinal purity while professing itself to be biblical. Crisis Christianity, or as we would call it, cultural Christianity, presents the Bible as if it were a collection of Aesop's fables, a bunch of unrelated stories with a nice moral at the end of each story. Such an approach ignores the grand theme of Scripture, God's redemption of sinful man, the centrality of the Christ in the Scripture. Rather than creating self-denying disciples, the message of Christless Christianity creates ardents who are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The Bible warns that as history draws to a close, much of the opposition of truth will come not from the outside of the church, but from inside. According to the Scripture, Christless Christianity is internal rot. It tries to use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a means of bettering oneself. It turns his church into little more than a platform for self-help, seminars, self-affirming messages. At the heart of Christless Christianity, or cultural Christianity, is self-worship dressed up in Bible verses, pieces to make it appear spiritual. Many evangelical churches today are moving closer and closer to embracing the cultural Christianity. Cultural Christianity focuses upon Jesus' word that appeals to the humanitarian ideals, not ones asking about the cross and following him with the cross, end quote. So, Dr. Phelps, continue your thoughts in relationship to that Christless Christianity, cultural Christianity, and what it embraces.
Well, another thing that I have arrived at is this, that a person who's really a Christian knows he's saved.
That's right.
And that's what the Bible talks about in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. I'll read those verses. In whom, and those two words means in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Believers are saved by believing in Christ. Faith in Christ is essential. We were unsaved in unbelief. Now we're trusting in Christ. Now, the Bible tells us, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we believe that a person needs to know that we're truly saved. Our relationship with God doesn't involve ritual or religion. The right relationship with God is only by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only in a person. Our personal relationship with God does not mean we are doing good works, though that's fine and wonderful. It's not by being good or keeping the law. It's only by the grace of God.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, I'm thinking further, and what you're saying is the, looking at an analysis of what is a real Christian versus what is a cultural Christian. I'm going to read this. Anyone can be a cultural Christian. Renowned atheist and scientist Richard Dawkins, author of The God Delusion and Outgrowing God, among many other books, has on several occasions identified himself as a cultural Christian. He recognizes the benefit of Christian morality and celebrations through, though he does not believe in God and is outspoken against religion. Cultural Christianity is comfortable in a Christian nation that generally adheres to Christian principles, are treating people well and striving for peace and justice. It's comfortable to claim Christianity. There are no downsides socially, and it means that one can look to religion for comfort when necessary. I find it antithetical to anything that would be should be embraced by Christians, to know that Richard Dawkins, an avid, outspoken agnostic, to say the very best, I contend he's an atheist. He's bragged about how the Bible has got to be correct, how the Bible is a unit that is so astronomically impossible outside of some God force, as he would look at it. But yet he's a cultural Christian. He is not embracing Jesus Christ as Savior, not embracing the divinity of Christ, not embracing the God of the Bible, but rejecting it completely, but yet likes to talk about being a cultural Christian, recognizing the benefits of Christian morality. Multitudes in our churches today that are cultural Christians, they believe in the love of God, but they're not recognizing or embracing the justice of God and the judgment of God. They're unwilling to call sin and to confess sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Continue with your thoughts in relationship to the cultural Christianity versus central biblicist Christianity. By the way, before you share that, I'm looking at an article at some of the quotes by Vance Havner. And Vance Havner said this. This is a number of years ago. Vance Havner says, "We're suffering today from a species of Christianity as dry as dust, as cold as ice, as pale as a corpse, as dead as the king, as King Tut. We're suffering not from the lack of correct heads, but of consumed hearts." End quote. Go ahead with your thoughts.
One of the things also I'd like to share, and I believe is so important, we can know that we have a relationship with God as our Heavenly Father and have the Son of God as our Lord and Savior. But we must deal with the sin problem. We were all alienated from God, but God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to reconcile us to Himself. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, came to deliver us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and from the punishing wrath upon sin. When He suffered for our sins on the cross and shed His precious blood for us, Christ reconciled us to God. And so we now can be forgiven. That's how we deal with the sin problem. God has arranged for us to be forgiven. And that's only by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." So by the gospel of Christ, God calls us out of the world of religion to have a personal relationship with Him and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Believing Christians have something better than religion.
Amen. Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, as we wrap up this thought today, and we're talking about who is a real Christian. We're talking about biblical Christianity. Looking further at an elongated article, cultural Christianity embraces being pleasant, gathering with other friendly people, enjoying the benefits and the comfortability of social environment. The cultural Christian might even have a fish bumper sticker and attend church from time to time. However, this cultural Christianity, listen, misses out on the most important aspect of Christianity. Biblical Christianity emphasizes, as you said a moment ago, a relationship with Jesus Christ. What defines a Christian is not one associate who associates with, or with how often we set foot in the church. Rather, is the relationship of with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.